Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. As I said to you last week, I wanted us to all read our foundational text together this week for our what I believe is our final part of this series, part 30 of the series, The Church That Jesus Is Building. And we're going to once again return to our foundational text, and I have read it each week. But in celebration of completing this series together as a body, I wanted us to read it together. So let's, you can either look at what you have, or hopefully you can see the screen, and let's read this together. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. Children, I love your voices. Whether we're reading the Scripture or when we're singing, it is so precious. Sometimes I think, if the Lord is with us for no other reason, it's because you children are here. And it's precious. Amen. So, as I said, this is part 30 in our series, The Church That Jesus Is Building. We have gone through everything from what is the church to what does it take to belong in the church, what does it mean to be a Christian, to what gifts He's given us, to what He's called us as His body to do, to leadership in the church, the government of the church, fivefold ministry. Next slide, please. Next one. The fivefold ministry. We talked about the ongoing leadership, the everyday, day-to-day leadership in the local church being the elders, and we're into the congregation. This is, and how all of this culminates in reaching the world for Jesus and seeing people saved and discipled for His glory. Amen? Amen. Go back one, if you would. We have been talking about the three, and understanding the three major aspects of the church being mission, message, and method. Mission being taking the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth and seeing people saved, born again by the power of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, and living for Him through discipleship and personal devotion to Him. And we said that the message part of it was the gospel. That when we take the gospel of the kingdom, we define what the gospel is, and we said that it's important that we understand the message correctly. And then method, how we do this is just as important as the mission and the message. That we don't just do what He wants us to do and find our own way of doing it, but we do it according to His method. The church built God's way, and according to His plan is God's method. The gospel of the kingdom is to be taken to the ends of the earth. Then the end will come. We must pursue His mission, preaching and living out His message according to His method until the job is done. The church that Jesus is building, The church that Jesus is building is still under construction. It's not his fault that it's not built yet. I believe it's ours. And team effort is going to be required at all levels. Not any one of us can get this job done. Not any one group of us can get this job done. Not on any one segment. It's going to take all of us working together. And as I said, as we worked our way through all of this, we've been painstakingly slow. Every time I thought I was going to go quicker, the Lord always put a halt to things, said, slow down, take your time. Even when I hit something, He would oftentimes tell me to go back and hit it a little bit stronger. So it's taken us quite a ways to get here, but we have, for those of us who've listened and received revelation from the Lord, we have a strong foundation in order to go forth and do what God's called us to do and to receive what He wants us to receive. We don't want to stop short. We don't want to settle for anything less than the ends of the earth being touched and reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last time I preached was part 29, which was the ministry of the congregation. We're going to revisit that just slightly. And then we're going to conclude today by the ministry of the congregation continued. So, next slide, please. We said that the word congregation, it means the same thing, whether in Greek or Hebrew, but we're just using the English definition of the word. The congregation means a group of people assembled for religious worship or a gathering of or a collection of people, animals, or things. A congregation is those who congregate. It's coming together. You don't have a congregation with pieces separate from one another. Same thing with the word assembly. And the word congregation, assembly, and gathering, all of these are used to describe what we do and who we are as the body of Christ. The word assembly means a group of people gathered together in one place for a common purpose. Again, assembly is not pieces separate, it's pieces together, becoming one. And then lastly, gathering, another word used to describe who we are and what we do, is an assembly or meeting held for a specific purpose. Once again, these are the definitions, English definitions you'd find in any dictionary to describe this. And there's no way to get around it. There is no being a congregation without congregating. There's no way of being an assembly without assembling. There's no way of being a gathering without gathering. Next slide, please. The congregation is responsible to do the following, and these are just five of the major things. This isn't necessarily all-inclusive, but these are the biggest bullet points, some of the biggest bullet points. And number one is to gather together. We talked about this. This is the most fundamental, basic thing that we do as a body of Christ as we come together. The word church is ekklesia in the Greek, and it means called out ones or called together ones. This calling out from the world and calling together unto Him is what we do. It's the most basic thing. Everything else that we do as the body of Christ has to begin with that. We cannot do the things that He called us to do without understanding our purpose and being together. And then we talked about ministering to and serving one another. This is on an individual basis, that we don't just look at one another as a whole, but we start to look and see individuals, that the body is made up of individual members. And if we care about the whole, we have to care about individuals. We have to invest our lives in other people. We talked about how the one another scriptures and applying those, or applying ourselves towards that, so that we are fully participating in ministering one to another. And then also being involved in making disciples. You have to be involved in other people. Getting to know people on an individual basis. We have to be honest. Who do we know? And who do we don't know? Now, in a large congregation where there's hundreds, perhaps thousands of people. It's going to be impossible to know everybody. But it should be our goal to know as many as we can, to be as intimate with as many as we can, to reach out. And even those that we don't get to know on an intimate basis, we should never be in the habit of shunning people or avoiding contact. You ever done that before? You see somebody that you kind of know in a grocery store, and they're on one aisle, and you think, man, I haven't got time for this. I don't have time for a conversation. It'd probably be uncomfortable if I did have a conversation. And then you slip down another aisle and kind of glance the other way. Don't tell me I'm the only one that's ever done that. I think we've all probably have done that. We don't need to be doing that in the body of Christ. We don't need to avoid one another. Even if we have conflict, we don't avoid that. We confront that. Have I offended you in any way? What can I do to make our relationship better? Or just being honest with things. We have to do that in the body of Christ. We can't live a life of separating ourselves. And okay, I get along with her and him, but her and him I don't get along with, and I'll just stay here where I feel comfortable. No, we have to invest ourselves. Serving people on an individual basis. You're not likely to serve someone. We're talking about really getting involved in serving the body of Christ on an individual basis. You're not going to serve somebody you don't know. I guarantee you that. If knowing them is difficult for you, then serving them is going to be even more difficult. We have got to get to know one another so that we can serve one another. Amen? I'm reminded of a story of... I was listening to an interview. A man was interviewing a man who had an apostolic ministry, and his wife was with him. And he was interviewing them, talking about their life and their ministry and how things have developed and how their ministry has grown and how their influence is... been felt in different places. Toward the end of the conversation, he turned to the wife, and they were talking about the early days of ministry. And she had, she was a young wife with young children and at home. And he said, "Now I know in the early days, you travel with him now. Now that your children are all grown up, and you travel with him now. But in the early days, you had to stay behind. There was no way that you and all the small children could go with your husband as he took these journeys to strengthen churches and build the body of Christ." And he said, was that hard for you? Were you lonely during that period? And she said to him, without any hesitation, she said, we're having some singing going on, unplanned. And it needs to stop. Anyway, she said, "Yes, I miss my husband terribly during those periods." She said, "He's my best friend. He's my husband. He's my partner in life. Of course I missed him. But was I lonely? Was I out of sorts? Did I have no purpose during that period? Absolutely not." She said, "I had the body of Christ." She said, "My sisters and my brothers in the body of Christ. I still had that. And I still had them. I still had a purpose. I still had loving relationships. Yes, I missed my husband, but all was not lost. I still had the body of Christ." How many people in today's church have that kind of relationship that if your husband is not with you, you still have a reason for being here? If your wife is not with you, you still have a reason for being here. If things are going on, you still have a purpose. If things are difficult in your life, Brother Livingstone, you still have a purpose. You're separated from your wife right now, distance-wise. That doesn't mean all comes to an end. You're lonely. You need one another. but you still have the body of Christ, or we ought to. That's the kind of place, that's the kind of serving one another that we should sense from one another. And when we see people going through difficult times, everybody fits in. When we see another child born and the family's juggling another child and more children, we see, how can we help? How can I help you with your growing family? How can I help you with your needs for meals? How can I help you with perhaps, you know, house cleaning? How can I help you with helping watch the children during the service for a period of time until we get on top of things? We all involved with one another, looking for ways to serve because we care. Amen? Amen. Then we said about serving the body, not just individuals, but serving the whole, serving what we are as a congregation, that everybody can and should serve. We talked about what questions that we should ask ourselves. What's in my heart? What's in my hand? Where's the need? Where can I help? And we should challenge ourselves and one another. We should realize, get to know one another. We find out the different gifts that people have and say, you're not using your gifts. Come on, we need you. It's not just the leadership that's constantly asking people to participate. It's one another. We serve the body ourselves and we're looking for other people to help get them involved so that we encourage them daily, as it's called today, that you and your gifts and everything that you provide is necessary for us to grow. We need one another. This is not a one-man show. It's not the best do-it-all and everybody else just gets the benefit of just like watching a movie. No, it takes us all. And whether we're serving one another on an individual basis or whether we're serving the body, we never should ask the question, what's in it for me? I'll do this if I get something out of it that scratches my itch. We don't do it for that reason. I don't help my wife and do the dishes because I love doing dishes. By the way, guys, I didn't do them for years and years and years. But I've learned that I can minister to my wife by doing dishes every now and then. I even vacuum every now and then. And when she begs me hard enough and I really got no good excuse, I every now and then help her make the bed. I'm learning. I'm becoming more useful around the house. I'm getting older. She can't afford to throw me away now. You know, I gotta add more to things so she won't let me go. But I don't do any of the things that I do because, you know, I have somehow learned that washing dishes can be fun. It's not. It's just as yucky as it always was. But there's something about it. I do get joy from it. And every now and then I'll ask her, am I a good helper? Am I doing a good job? I'm fishing for a compliment, you know. Does that floor look clean to you? But again, we do things because we're helping and we see the benefit that we're providing for someone else. It's never because I love doing this. Now, it's a great thing when we can serve and do the things that we love, but it's not only those things. How can we serve? How can we participate? I'm not going to go in. I was going to say something, but this week our lives were involved in other things that we didn't do for ourselves. But it's a blessing to be able to do them. It's a blessing to be able to do them because we love others. And am I the best in the world at it? No, I got a ways to go. Susan, as great as she is she totally arrived? She's as close as anybody I know, but no, she's got a way to go. We all got room to grow. I'm not putting myself up here as the prime example. No, Jesus is our example. And we should always look to Him. How did He serve? How did He lay His life down? And that's what we do for the body of Christ. That's what we do for individuals. That's what we do for the body. But never ask what's in it for me, and let that be the thing that determines your effort. Another thing, the body of Christ, the congregation, it honors its leaders by loving them, esteeming them highly. I have found that people in places like Africa and places like Asia, where the culture is a little different, that many of them, not all, but many of them have learned how to honor those who they see are in authority above them. Just the other day, we went to lunch with our dear brother, and Jason and I went, and it doesn't bother me. It's not below me to open the door for people. In fact, I get a little bit of a joy out of doing that. But Brother Livingston wouldn't let me open the door. He kind of pushed me out of the way so he could open the door for me. It's showing honor and finding ways of honoring and showing that and demonstrating that. I told you this story a long time ago about a brother in England who said that every time he would get out of his car and take his briefcase and walk towards the ministry building, that one of the brothers was always looking for him to arrive, and as soon as his car pulled in the parking lot, he would shoot out the door and go meet him at his car and take his briefcase and carry it into the building for him. He said, is that because I'm so weak that I can't carry my own briefcase and the brother feels sorry for me? He said, no. It's just he sees this as a way of showing honor unto me. In the West, we're not so much geared that way anymore. We want to demonstrate how important we are, not demonstrate to someone else how important they are to us. And we should look for ways of honoring those who are in authority. We should follow the example of their faith. We should remember them during the things that they go through and the things that they are experiencing on our behalf. We should obey them. We should purposely be open to the scrutiny of our life, not shut off, but open, not trying to hide, but open, submitting to the counsel and the correction that they bring, and support them financially. But he makes more money than I do. Or whatever. We don't get into that. It's how, again, how can I honor? How can I show honor? And then the body of Christ, the congregation, participates in taking the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. We talked about that, how important it is that the body of Christ sees that we are the ones. We don't have special people who have special abilities who, if we pay them enough money, they will do that for us. It is our job to take the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth, each and every one of us. Whether it's taking the gospel to Walmart with us, to our neighbors, while we're on vacation, wherever it is that we are, we find our place in the world, we are to preach the gospel. I'd just like to say also along with this that we should be creative in finding ways of serving the body, but also serving the ministry of the body and taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have ways nowadays through technology that we never had before. Technology should never take the place of us one-on-one with people, face-to-face, sharing our hearts, sharing the gospel. But if we can use the Facebook to let the world know what we're eating and how big our hamburger is at this joint, if we can use that for that, why not use Facebook to say, we had a wonderful time at church service this morning. Why not use Facebook? Be creative. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I don't even know how to spell Facebook. I barely know how to respond and push a button when a thing pops up says you have a notification. I can do that, and every now and then I can comment. I mainly just hide in the bushes and see, you know, what pictures of my grandchildren are posted and what other people are eating. But there's more to it. There's more available to us than that. If we correctly use the technology that's there, how can we make the most of it? Craig alluded to that when he preached last time about being purposeful in using these tools that are out there. I want to encourage you. Find ways. Be creative. Encourage one another. It'd be nice to have a think tank when you get together sometime. You know, talk about your nail polish. Talk about, you know, your children with their upset tummies. Talk about, you know, potty training and all the things that we talk about, and building decks, and talk about all the things that we normally talk about in life. But let's talk about, hey, have you had any ideas how we can reach the neighborhood? Any ideas about what we can do? What do you think about this? What if we, can you use Facebook this way? And can you use Twitter this way? And what about uploading videos? I had an idea of doing that. How do you do it? Let's just be creative about this responsibility we have of meeting our responsibility of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Okay, now we're going to get into part 30. This is our final part. And this is ministry of the congregation continued. I want you to see that the when we talk about congregation, we have this picture in our heads of all these different congregations, and we're one of many in our area. And I've got a graphic for that in just a moment. But first of all, we want to see it from a scriptural point of view, and that's what we've been doing with all of what we've done. Anytime the word church is used in the singular sense, church, singular, not plural, it is defining a church in a geographical location, and it's usually city-specific or an organized urban population. The church at Colossae, we know that in the scriptures that when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he wrote the book of what? Colossians. The church of Thessalonica, we read the book and have the letter that he wrote to the Thessalonians. The church at Corinth, the letters to the Corinthians. The church at Ephesus, the letter to the Ephesians. The church at Philippi, the letter to the Ephesians. But you see that each one is a city, and he didn't write to the churches at Corinth. It was a city. So there was one church in the city. And every time church was used to describe a location, there was one church per city. And you see the same thing. I've just got some of them listed here. That in Rome, Laodicea, Sardis, Smyrna, Thyatira, Pergamos, Philadelphia, Jerusalem, all of those cities, when they were referred to or Paul wrote to them or whatever, there was only one church in the city. Now, there are churches, plural. What about that, brother? Well, the churches, anytime it was plural, those were churches of a region. In other words, different cities in a region. So the churches of Judea, that would be the churches in a single church in different cities of that region. And all of those churches in the region would be churches, plural. Churches of Galatia. Galatia was a region. It wasn't a city. Churches of Asia was a of Asia. Asia is a region. It's an area. It's not a city. Macedonia, again, it's a region, not a city. We see scripturally, before things got perverted and became what we have today, there wasn't 10, 20, 100, 200, 500 churches in a city. Church body, all separate, doing their own thing. There was one church. The interesting thing is, look at how it used to be. Next slide, please. This, our city, and that could be any city, you put your own name in there, it's our city, as it is, as it now is. And we have, within the city, we have Baptist Church, sometimes several of those, First Baptist, Fielder Road Baptist, on and on and on it goes. And then we have Methodist, we have Cowboy Church, Lutheran Church, Pentecostal, Episcopal, Catholic, Church of Christ, Bible Church, and then various different non-denominational. That's just to name a few. There is so much more than that in our city. I don't know how many. Anybody know how many churches in Cleburne? I guarantee you it's a lot more than that. And each one of these churches, most of them, we'll have this guy in the center. We'll say he's the leader of the group. He may have helpers as in his leadership, but there's usually one man called the pastor that's the leader of the church. And so rather than having a one church with many leaders, we have many churches with one leader, and each one having one leader. We're totally backwards to the scriptural model. So this is our city as it is now. And each one feeling that they're obeying God and doing the will of God, doing the work of God, and quite comfortable in remaining in that situation. And the whole situation with us being separate and divided, feeling okay with that. Go to the next slide. That's our city as some believe it, as it is. This is our city as some believe it to be. The red line around that is a group, and I just circled one. I got others circled, so I'm not in a minute. But this is a group that says, we're the only ones that are doing the will of the Lord. Everything else is false and fake and phony and errant and no good. And we are the only ones going to heaven. We're the only group that matters. Everybody else is so desperately wrong. In their theology, they're so wrong that they're not even worth saving. They're not salvageable as they are. They need to come into our group. Next slide. Just so we're not playing favorites, so there's some Baptists that are thinking that way. And one more, non-denominational, you know. Could have circled any one of them. Maybe all of them are in a place where they're thinking that way. There's a little joke where a guy dies and goes to heaven, and he was Methodist most of his life, and he gets to heaven, and they start showing him around, and he said, man, this is a wonderful place, and I see people, you know, all over the place here, and I see them that used to be in the Baptist church over there, and I see them used to be in the Congregational Church and the Assemblies of God over there and Pentecostals. What's behind that wall? And they said, well, that's the people from the Church of Christ. Why are they behind the wall? We don't bother them. They think they're the only ones up here. I've heard that same story told about Catholics and Baptists and everything. So, you know, again, we're not picking on Church of Christ. But this is truly how some people believe it. And here's the sad part about it. Not only do they believe that they're the only ones that are doing it right, they are totally okay with that. They do not look for nor earnestly long for the manifestation of the sons of God. There's an old saying that says, if you aim at nothing, you're bound to hit it. They have no target. They have no scriptural goal, which says that the whole body ought to be together and we should be working towards that. Now, I know that not everybody that is in a church building is part of the church. Next slide. This is our city as God now sees it. Now, this is God saying who belongs to Him. And you'll see that there are some that are meeting in the Baptist church building. Some are truly born again, but others are not. That the same in most all of the churches that we have here, the church groups that we have here, this is how God sees His church. He sees that not the whole group belongs to Him, but only those truly born again belong to Him. And He finds them in several different groups. In fact, wherever they are, He says, that's mine. That person loves me. They belong to me. They're a part of my church. But my church is not together. This is not the picture as it ought to be. This is the picture as God sees it. This is the church of our city as God now sees it. Currently sees it. That He has people all over the place that belong to Him, but they are not together. They're under different leadership. Some are under leaders that are not even born again. Don't take my word for this. There's testimonies of people who've been in the ministry for years and say, I finally got saved. That does happen. There's pastors' wives that have been involved in ministry for years and played the piano and done all kinds of things and then come to a place of realizing, I'm not born again. And they come and say, I've committed my life to the Lord. And this may shock some of you, but last Sunday I was saved. And all the other times I was just an unsaved pastor's wife pretending to be saved, pretending to be part of the body of Christ. This is not an incorrect picture. This is a true picture. See, only the redeemed and the truly born again, the forgiven, the spiritually transformed belong in His church. Not everyone is in the physical building is in the spiritual building. Jesus calls them, those who are in the spiritual building, my sheep. His flock is made up of His sheep. His building is built with His living stones. His family is made up of His children. His church, the called out ones, is made up of those who have heard and have answered His call. Next slide. This is our city as God wants it to be, and the church of our city as God wants it to be. This, within the red circle, is God saying, this is my church. This is the church of our city. Any name you want. Cleburne, Fort Worth, Dallas, Alvarado, any city you want to put there. This is the church of our city as it ought to be, where everyone who is a child of God is together as part of the one church. There are some areas. Now, no longer are we Baptist, Methodist, denominational. Perhaps we're all meeting in one place, especially if this is just getting started or if we have a very small city. But let's say in a city the size of Cleburne, we know if all the Christians had a similar vision and came together, we would not be able to meet in one location. So we would have to meet one body in different locations, but all part of the same body. All part of the same, under the same leadership. That if we assume that these people in the middle are part of the leadership, and probably others along with it, this would be one of the elders, and there would be other elders that meet in this area of town called High Rise. I'm very creative with my names. Meet in the downtown area, meet in the Lakeview area. It's too big to meet all in one place all the time. Perhaps we rent out a football stadium and meet there as one big congregation once every 6 months or so often. But we're one congregation meeting in several places, but all of the leaders, the elders that are in these groups are all together working as elders over the body of Christ. Perhaps there's nothing meeting in the area of town called Valley Fields or Clearwater or the projects. Perhaps we need strategically to plant some of these people out into this area. They would either drive there or even move. Sometimes people in the advancement of the kingdom for the purpose of God move to a different area. Remember the whole thing about missions and people thinking they have to go overseas to be, you know, doing something special and different? How about within our own city that people, group of people say, hey, there's not really much happening over in this area of town and it really needs a touch of God. How many families would like to move over there, commit themselves to selling up where you are and moving into this area so that we have a witness in that area so we can begin outreach? Brothers and sisters, when we have a church, and this is very much as the church of Ephesus, when Paul called the elders of the Ephesian church together, what he was doing was calling wherever they met, whether they were in one central location where they met or whether they were meeting as different segments of one body, but he called the elders because they belonged to the same church. He called them together and ministered to them and said, my face you'll see no more. And he left them with some parting wisdom that he wanted to share with them. But he called together the elders of the Ephesian church. Now, I know that this is not how it typically is. I know that the other model that we showed earlier with all the different groups, each one feeling happy to be just thriving in their own little group, I know that's the true picture of what's happening now. But as a man of God and as a my responsibility is not preach what things are, but what they should be. If divorce is happening to, say, 60% of the people in the church, is it my responsibility to preach to you, let's have divorce rate no higher than 60% because that's what it is? Or is it my responsibility to preach to you what a godly marriage ought to be? Those of us who have responsibilities in the body of Christ to preach truth, it can be current truth if it's truth, but oftentimes it's more visionary truth. It's where we need to go to, where we need to be. It's to say, this is the direction we're headed, this is the goal, and we need to go there. So oftentimes people feel more comfortable doing what everybody else is doing, just finding their place in that. But you'll see when God really wanted to do something, He would find somebody that would believe Him. And He turned a somebody into a multitude because of their faith. He used Moses. He spoke to one man. He gave him a vision. He told him what he wanted him to do. He gave him somebody to help him. They went, and a nation was brought out of Egypt through the wilderness, eventually into the promised land. You look in each move of God that took place, there was never immediately a multitude. There was always somebody who would believe Him, somebody who would prophetically communicate the will of God, somebody who would embrace it, somebody who would prophesy it, somebody who would lay their life down for it, and then God added to it. Brothers and sisters, we have been called as a body of believers who is called to embrace a vision that is not what we currently see. that we speak it forth, we communicate it, we pray for it, we lay our lives down for it. The church, as God wants it to be, is one body, even if located, and even if is being meeting together in many locations across the city. The church, as God wants it to be, all belonging to Him and to Him alone. It's under qualified and unified leadership provided by a team of elders. It receives impartation and leadership of the fivefold ministry. It grows together and worships together and works together in committed love. It's united in faith and in understanding and in vision and in purpose. And it is only divided in order to serve the purposes of the kingdom advancement by the will of God. This church here will not, the people and where they are and where they belong and the relationships, they are not leaving that unless it is for the purpose of advancement. This one here, this and his family, and this one here and his family, and this one here and his family, they all say, I will be one of those families that leaves the comfort of my group that's doing well and invest over here. That's the only reason for leaving, is for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Now, it's either going to Valley Fields here in the same city, or it's to go to another part of another city, to another country. If it's all in the will and purposes of God, and it's what God's calling them to do, and they have the agreement of the leadership of their church, and they have hands laid on them, and they have support from other members of the body, and they're going somewhere else, we're not being divided. We're not being torn up. We're advancing. Amen? There's much that I could say on this, and for brevity, the sake of time, I won't. And I know that this is not new to some of you who I've been speaking with for a while, but it's probably very new to others who haven't had the benefit of seeing things from a different perspective. I have laid out from you by Scripture how when the church was young, that there was not multiple congregations in one city that were split up and divided by doctrine. It was only by geographic location. They still remained one and under one leadership. What we have today is different from that and is not the will of God. What we're talking about here is somehow, some way, that we believe God enough and we care enough about His Word that we would submit ourselves and hunger and desire for that which we now have to become that which God wants it to be. And I would be remiss at this point if it did not add this final last point in our series. One last thing that we need to be involved in as an individual and as a congregation, last slide, is prayer. Fervent prayer. Sweat as great drops of blood prayer. I want you to hear me. Is the most selfless and difficult thing that we could ever do. Of all the wonderful things that we could do and should do, prayer, the kind of praying through prayer, requires the most faith, the most discipline, and the most commitment of anything that we could do. Yet for all that it requires of us, our efforts pale in comparison to the rewards that it avails. You see, when we pray, we bend our knees and our wills. When we pray, we leave our world and we enter His. When we pray, we find the mind of God. We find the way forward. We find the answer to life's problems. When we pray, we partner with Him. When we pray, others are blessed. And when we pray, we have the victory. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, Lord, I've been as faithful as I can be to share the vision that You put on my heart. To not just repeat what I see with my natural eyes, but to communicate what I see with my spiritual eyes. To paint a vision for the future. To paint a vision for the church that Jesus You're building, which will, because You are God of all the universe and of all glory, which will reach the ends of the earth. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. And there will be an end that comes. And there will be a judgment where all nations will be judged, where all individuals will be judged, where all in the body of Christ will be judged for the works that they have done, whether it be for You and in Your name or for their own glory. Lord, I pray that You would take what we have learned, what we have heard, and press it even further upon us. Lord, let there not be a drifting apart from this. Lord, that every one of us who's received revelation could not shake it off, could not leave it and be a part of something that is not have the goal of changing the world for Jesus Christ. Father, help us, I pray. Lord, there is no way in human strength, no way at all that any of this, even the slightest way, could be accomplished without You. Without You being put first, without You and Your Spirit empowering us, without You going before us and preparing the way, without us staying committed to You and to the vision, without us laying aside the petty things that would keep us from going forward, the petty things that would keep us at odds with one another or at odds with another group that we perhaps have had issues with in the past. Lord, help us to see where Your people are and that each one of us that are called by Your name and belong to You belong to one another. Help us, Lord God, to have a vision beyond where we are. Help us, Lord God, to work towards that with everything that's within us in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we're helpless without You, but with You, Lord God, we can do all things. I thank You that the impossible is possible. And it's not only possible, because You spoke it, Lord God, it's inevitable. It not only can happen, it will happen. Lord, we desire to be a part of what You're doing in the earth today. In Jesus' name, amen.